Our sermon text this morning begins in Genesis chapter 26, verse 34, through 27, verse 40. Genesis 26, 34 to 27, 40. Now hear the word of the Lord. When Esau was 40 years old, he took as wives Judith, the daughter of Beeri the Hittite, and Basemath, the daughter of Elon the Hittite. And they were a grief of mind to Isaac and Rebekah. Now it came to pass when Isaac was old and his eyes were so dim that he could not see, that he called Esau his older son and said to him, "My son." And he answered him, "Here I am." Then he said, "Behold, now I am old. I do not know the day of my death. Now, therefore, please take your weapons, your quiver and your bow, and go out to the field and hunt game for me. And make me savory food such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, that my soul may bless you before I die." Now Rebekah was listening when Isaac spoke to Esau, his son, and Esau went to the field to hunt game and to bring it. So Rebekah spoke to Jacob, her son, saying, "Indeed, I heard your father speaking to Esau, your brother, saying, 'Bring me game and make savory food for me, that I may eat it and bless you in the presence of the Lord before my death.' Now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to what I command you. Go now to the flock and bring me from there two choice kids of the goats, and I will make savory food from them for your father, such as he loves. Then you shall take it to your father that he may eat it, and that he may bless you before his death." And Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, "Look, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man, and I am a smooth-skinned man. Perhaps my father will feel me, and I shall seem to be a deceiver to him, and I shall bring a curse on myself and not a blessing." But his mother said to him, "Let your curse be on me, my son. Only obey my voice and go, get them for me." And he went and got them and brought them to his mother, and his mother made savory food such as his father loved. Then Rebekah took the choice clothes of her elder son Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them on Jacob, her younger son. And she put the skins of the kids of the goats on his hands and on the smooth part of his neck. And she gave the savory food and the bread, which she had prepared, into the hand of her son Jacob. So he went to his father and said, "My father." And he said, "Here I am. Who are you, my son?" Jacob said to his father, "I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done just as you told me. Please arise, sit and eat of my game, that your soul may bless me." But Isaac said to his son, "How is it that you have found it so quickly, my son?" And he said, "Because the Lord your God brought it to me." Then Isaac said to Jacob, "Please come near that I may feel you, my son, whether you are really my son Esau or not." So Jacob went near to Isaac, his father, and he felt him and said, "The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau." And he did not recognize him because his hands were hairy like his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him. Then he said, "Are you really my son Esau?" He said, "I am." He said, "Bring it near to me, and I will eat of my son's game, so that my soul may bless you." So he brought it near to him, and he ate, and he brought him wine, and he drank. Then his father Isaac said to him, "Come near now and kiss me, my son." And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his clothing and blessed him and said, "Surely the smell of my son is like the smell of a field, which the Lord has blessed. Therefore may God give you of the dew of heaven, of the fatness of the earth, and of plenty of grain and wine. Let people serve you and nations bow down to you. Be master over your brethren, and let your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who curses you, and blessed be those who bless you." Now it happened as soon as Isaac had finished blessing Jacob, and Jacob had scarcely gone out from the presence of Isaac his father, that Esau his brother came in from his hunting. He also had made savory food and brought it to his father, and said to his father, "Let my father arise and eat of his son's game, that your soul may bless me." And his father Isaac said to him, "Who are you?" So he said, "I am your son, your firstborn Esau." Then Isaac trembled exceedingly and said, "Who? Where is the one who hunted game and brought it to me? I ate all of it before you came, and I blessed him, and indeed he shall be blessed. When Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with an exceedingly great and bitter cry and said to his father, "Bless me also, O my father." But he said, "Your brother came with deceit and has taken away your blessing." And Esau said, "Is he not rightly named Jacob? For he has supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and now look, he has taken away my blessing." And he said, "Have you not reserved a blessing for me?" Then Isaac answered and said to Esau, "Indeed, I have made him your master, and all his brethren I have given to him as servants. With grain and wine I have sustained him. What shall I do now for you, my son?" And Esau said to his father, "Have you only one blessing, my father? Bless me also, O my father." And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. Then Isaac his father answered and said to him, "Behold, your dwelling shall be of the fatness of the earth and of the dew of heaven from above. By your sword you shall live, and you shall serve your brother. And it shall come to pass, when you become restless, that you shall break his yoke from your neck." The word of the Lord. Let us pray. Do not stand afar off in times of trouble, O Lord. Catch the wicked in their plots. Arise and lift your hand. Do not forget the humble. See and observe the trouble and grief. Repay it by your hand, for we commit ourselves to you. You are the father of the fatherless. Break the arm of the wicked, for you are king forever and ever. Hear our desire, prepare our hearts, cause your ear to hear, to do justice to the oppressed, that the men of the earth oppress no more. Speak to us now, O Lord, in your word by your Spirit, that we may respond by faith to your grace and serve you, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Boys and girls, your words this morning are Jesus and covenant. Jesus and covenant. I'll give you a count at the end. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, last Lord's Day, we heard from God's word how the Lord uses repetition to teach us. Repetition in the word and repetition in history. And he's done this since the beginning. And from this, we can learn what our fathers in the faith have done before us and apply it wisely to our lives. This helps us live. It helps us serve. It helps us build up the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And it helps us to interpret and understand God's word, especially with the difficult passages, such as today's sermon text. Now, hearing this, with all the details of this historic event, this may sound like an odd story, especially with the cultural differences of how this was carried out. We may think it odd, but straightforward in its description of what happened. Straightforward in its description for this family, for these two sons, and for the two nations that would come from them. Brothers and sisters, I would commend to you, there's more than meets the eye in this passage. Now, we can read this passage, as is often done, as a passage, a story of a deceptive wife with a trickster son manipulating a blind man. We can read it this way. And it would be fulfilling what God said would happen with these two sons. The details, the events with Isaac and his two sons and Rebekah, it wasn't right, but it's still what happened. And we remember the prophecy that the Lord gave to Rebekah when she was pregnant with these two sons in Genesis 25. Yahweh said to Rebekah, "Two nations are in your womb. Two peoples shall be separated from your body. One people shall be stronger than the other, and the older shall serve the younger." That prophecy, with this interpretation of Genesis 27, that prophecy would be descriptive about what would happen, what will happen in the lives of these people. not necessarily right, not condoning the actions, but describing what would happen in the future, similar to how we understand the prophecies of the suffering and death of Jesus. It would happen this way. Not that it was right that wicked men persecuted and murdered the Son of God, but it did happen. That's one way to read this. Or you can see how the Spirit has prepared us through Genesis to interpret similar themes that have already arisen in the book the Spirit has brought forth, to see another story in history that we've seen before, that we've read this before. The events of Genesis 27 fulfill what Yahweh said should happen. Not just would happen, but it should happen this way. This is, the prophecy is prescriptive, not just descriptive. It's not the ends justify the means, but the means are good. The means are justified. And God is vindicated in his promises here to Jacob and his seed. Now in Genesis, we've heard three accounts of the covenant head, the chosen head of the covenant, and the beautiful bride of the covenant using wise deception to preserve God's covenant promises. We've heard it three times. And it was plain as day when it was happening. Abraham and Sarah, Rebekah and Isaac, they deceived. They were strangers in a strange land. There was a tyrant with power and authority, a tyrant doing tyrannical things, and Yahweh's covenant promises were in jeopardy. We've heard this three times. There's similar tension here in this story. Because the Lord in his sovereignty loved Jacob as his chosen seed. He passed over Esau, the firstborn, just like he passed over Ishmael. And the story has a reversal too. It's the bride, Rebekah, who loved the covenant enough to leave her family to go marry Isaac. And she acts righteously here to save the covenant to her beloved son, Jacob. Rebekah heard the prophecy. Rebekah heard the word of the Lord, and she responded by faith to save the covenant, to save Jacob. And she did it at her own risk. When Rebekah heard that Isaac would give the covenant blessings to Esau, she acted shrewdly. She acted wisely. She acted quickly. She prepared the son to approach the father. She prepared the meal for them to enjoy in this blessing ritual. She set out to deceive, to save the covenant. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, when is it okay for a wife to disobey a husband? When is it acceptable? When he goes against the word of the Lord. When he's in sin. Ephesians 5, wives, submit to your husbands in all things. But you don't submit in sin. Isaac is going against the word of the Lord. Isaac is seeking his own way. He wanted to bless Esau, despite the prophecy in Genesis 25, despite Esau giving up his birthright to Jacob. Rebekah loved the Lord more than she loved her husband. And this is good. She loved the covenant more than her life. And she trusted in God's choice of Jacob as the chosen covenant son, even willing to sacrifice herself, taking that curse upon herself. Isaac was in sin. Isaac disobeyed. Isaac was acting like a tyrant. He had usurped God's authority. He was going against the word of the Lord. He was blind. He could not judge rightly. Isaac had become, in this story, an enemy of the covenant. And his actions here were destroying the covenant. Effectively, Isaac was acting like a serpent. Now again, previously in Genesis, the Spirit had revealed on three previous occasions a tyrant acting like a serpent to destroy the covenant. Now in this, Rebekah loves the covenant, seeking to save the covenant. Jacob follows her instruction. He loved the covenant. So they used deception to save the covenant to overcome the tyrant. Now, what about the deception? Isn't this a transgression of the ninth commandment? The ninth commandment is, boys and girls, think to yourselves, now, what is the ninth commandment? Thou shalt not bear false witness against your neighbor. Against your neighbor. Do not deceive. Do not bear false witness to harm your neighbor. This has a judicial dynamic to it. But as we've covered in previous occurrences in Scripture, if there is a situation of warfare, a situation of preserving life, deception is a faithful tool, a faithful weapon. And here, Isaac is destroying the covenant promises of God. He had become an enemy. So the ninth commandment is not at issue here. Look at the dynamic of this scene. This blessing scene with Isaac and his son, this is a big deal. Isaac is the covenant head. He has received the Abrahamic blessings himself. He's thinking he's about to die. He's 137 years old. And he wanted to give the blessings to Esau in case he dies suddenly. But Isaac knew the prophecy. He knew what God said would happen, should happen, how they ought to raise their sons with Jacob the younger, receiving the promises. And now these sons, at 77 years old, Jacob is to receive the blessing, but Isaac is to give it to Esau. And Isaac tells you right here, he's not following the Lord. He's loving his belly. He's serving his appetite. We are reminded repeatedly in this section of food, of Isaac's desire for food, his love of food. And this ritual is done under wraps. There is deceit here on Isaac's part. They don't join together as a household. They don't ascend a mount for this ritual. Isaac doesn't build an altar and offer a sacrifice and send it up to the Lord for the Lord to eat a meal like Noah did. No, Isaac does not invite his wife to this ceremony. He doesn't invite Jacob or any of the servants to come. This is a backroom deal with Isaac and Esau. Isaac is trying to be God, to give the blessing to the son he loves. And he treats himself to a meal at this ceremony. Simply put, Isaac is sneaky. Isaac's blindness tells us that he was not a wise and faithful judge of character of his sons. Esau had taken two Hittite wives, and they were a grief of mind to Isaac and Rebekah. He knew Esau had sold his birthright to Jacob. And his blindness here indicates that he doesn't judge well. He's not a good judge of character. In Scripture, judges use their eyes. Genesis 1, God saw all that he made and declared it very good. Eyes see, eyes judge. You can look and you can judge something to be good or bad. You finish a project at home, you step back and you take a look at it and you say, that looks pretty good. I did a good job. Psalm 11, our responsive reading. The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids test the sons of men. We hear later in the history of redemption of Eli, a blind man who was a bad judge of his sons. Isaac's foolish judging was his downfall in this situation. Isaac accidentally gave Jacob the blessing despite what his ears were telling him. You sound like Jacob. But he couldn't see to judge rightly. Isaac's decision here to bless Jacob accidentally was made even more egregious in how much he gave away. The practice was a double blessing for the firstborn and a singular blessing for all the other sons. But Isaac wanted to give everything to Esau, and that's what he attempted to do. He left nothing for the other son. And when Isaac found out what had happened, when Esau revealed that truth to him, that he, in fact, was Esau, not the first son, we read that Isaac trembled a great tremble. This is a stronger feeling. This is dying, you will die. This is get up and go. This is he trembled a tremble. Why did Isaac tremble so greatly? Why was he so affected when he found out that it was Esau the second who had come? Jacob had come first. Was it because he botched it? Did he realize, he tricked me? Jacob got me. Rats, I am mad. No, this blessing wasn't magical. It wasn't a stamp that could not be erased. It wasn't like he gave Jacob a tattoo that couldn't be removed. Sorry, Esau, what's done is done. I can't take that back. No, Isaac realized that this was from the Lord. Verse 33, Isaac trembled exceedingly and said, Where is the one who hunted game and brought it to me? I ate all of it before you, Esau, came, and I have blessed him. Indeed, he shall be blessed. Isaac had been running from the prophecy since the boys were born. He'd been favoring Esau despite what God had said. This was an anger at being deceived that Jacob got over on Isaac. No, Isaac knew that he had been found out. This backroom deal, he couldn't run from God. He couldn't bless the son he wanted to bless. He had been found out. I tried to get around the Lord's plan, and I failed. This trembling, a great tremble, this shaking, this convulsing, was conviction. And Isaac confessed to Esau, indeed, he shall be blessed. God said it was Jacob. Jacob gets it. I'm busted. That's why, if you look at Hebrews 11:20, which is your verse on the inside of the cover of your liturgy, Hebrews 11:20 says, by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. Now, how does that work? How did he do it by faith? If he thought he was giving the blessing to Esau and he gave it to Jacob, he was deceived. How was it a faithful gift by Jacob, by Isaac? The only way it was given by faith is by Isaac saying, no, this is how it stands. God said, we're sticking with it. Sorry, Esau, But God said Jacob gets it. And this is another justification for Rebekah's deception, going against her husband's sinful wishes, is for his deliverance, for his repentance, to bring him back, to be in the Isaac from Genesis 26 and not the Isaac from Genesis 27. Now Esau, the wicked son, unfaithful in his taking pagan wives, who also lived by his belly like his father, in this scene, he becomes an accuser. Esau knew he had sold his birthright to Jacob. He knew he was not to receive this. He knew this was wrong. He knew he wasn't the firstborn anymore. But he went along with Isaac's scheme to get away with it. This might just work out for me yet. I've lived up by my stomach. I've given in to sinful desire with wives. But it didn't work. And after being found out, Esau does not follow his father in repentance. Instead, he attacks Jacob. Esau also becomes tyrannical. He blames someone else. He blamed his brother. Boys, don't blame your brothers when you're at fault. And Esau decides to murder his brother. Where have we heard that in the Bible before? He became a Cain. This is all my brother's fault. So Esau doubles down on wickedness. Righteous Rebekah saves the day. She saves the covenant. She may have even saved her husband, bringing him to repentance. Rebekah loved the covenant. She loved the Lord. Her husband was a fallible seed who acted selfishly regarding the covenant and his sons. And through this scene, God, working all the details together for good, brought about his plan, brought about Isaac's restoration, and the covenant continues. The kingdom of Jesus Christ continues to be built. And this happened, the saving of the covenant, because the righteous bride mother risked herself. Let this curse be upon me, Rebekah said. She acted like Jesus Christ. Let this curse come upon me. She acted righteously. She prepared Jacob the son to approach the father. And Jacob the son came to Isaac for his blessed inheritance. Jacob, the second son, came to the father. The first son was the unfaithful son. The first son lived for the flesh. The first son forsook the covenant for his belly. He gave up the covenant to eat something. And to save the covenant, the second put on the garments of the first. To receive the promised glory, Jacob, the chosen son, had to put on Esau's garments. These are skins from the animal. Jacob took on those skins, and he stepped up to his father, possibly incurring a curse, a judgment, a punishment. Do you see it? Do you see what's happening with the first and the second? This is an image of the incarnation. Jacob the second set aside himself, no longer calling himself Jacob. He set aside his own reputation, his right standing before his father, and he came in the likeness of Esau. And because of this approach, Isaac the father bestowed upon him the blessing of beloved son. Bestowed upon him the covenant head and promises. Jacob humbled himself in Esau's garb And as a result of that, he would be exalted as the head of the nation. This is Jesus. Jesus, the second Adam, humbled himself and took on the form of the first son, Adam, the firstborn of the human race. Jesus, the Son, set aside his own honor, the honor he was owed. He took the form of a servant. Jesus became a sacrifice. And because of Jesus' humble submission, he became the sacrificial lamb before the Father. What does Genesis 27 have to do with the gospel? Why read Genesis 27 in the New Covenant? What does it have to do with us for us today? This testifies to God. This testifies to his covenant of grace. This testifies to Jesus Christ. From Jesus' selfless sacrifice, like Rebecca, we can increase our love for Christ. Jesus sacrificed himself for the sake of the covenant in bringing us back to the Father. In response to this, we can love God's covenant with us. We are a relationship with God by covenant. We have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ by covenant. Not by emotions, not by feelings, not by experiences, but by the sovereign grace of God, his claim upon us as saved in Jesus Christ. And brothers and sisters, that's why we can approach the Father in worship. That's how we can enter those doors each Lord's Day morning. We are covered like Jacob. We are covered, clothed in the righteousness of Christ. We worship in Christ because Jesus is the second Adam. He is the covenant head of the new humanity. And our worship of Christ is a right approach. It's not by deception. We don't come in secret. We approach boldly. Heaven and earth come together in Jesus Christ. And all the blessings of the covenant for the redemption of the world and new human race are ours in Jesus Christ. What God has promised to Adam, he's given to Jesus. All the promises of God find their yes and their amen in Christ. And all things are ours in Christ. And this ritual in which we participate each Lord's Day is a renewal of that great covenant. The great covenant given to Jesus, the great covenant given to us. So, brothers and sisters, after all of his grace, after all of his love, his efficacious plan for our redemption, for our entering his kingdom, we must respond by faith. We must live by faith. Keep covenant. Jesus said, if you love me, obey my commandments. If you are a disciple of Jesus Christ, pick up your cross and follow him. Deny what you rightly have coming to you. Put yourself out and image Jesus Christ in your lives. These are his covenant terms. This is the faith responding to the grace. Die to yourself. Die to being you and put on Jesus Christ. Trust in God's design. Trust in his call to multiply his blessings for you in this life and in the next. Picking up your cross and following Christ is not easy. That's why it's self-denial. So you have to fix your eyes on him. You have to fix your eyes on the covenant of Christ and follow him by faith. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Let's pray. O God, who declares your almighty power chiefly in showing mercy and pity, mercifully grant unto us a measure of your grace that we, running to obtain your promises, may be made partakers of your heavenly treasures through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.